Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Speaking of a necessary chastening, that's probably the type of spin Ty Lue, Frank Vogel,
keep going,
Monty Williams, Luke Walton, and Steve Kerr might want to put on their team when they talk to them about what happened during this glorious five-game road trip of the Brooklyn Nets. Those are the five coaches of the five teams that the Nets played and beat. And Rob, you and I have covered this league for a long time.
For me, 1987, and absolutely, a long time.
Long time. And obviously, this is not the first time a team had an undefeated road trip and all that. But I'll tell you what, it should not be belittled. It should not be minimized what type of accomplishment it is to go out west and win all five of your games against good teams. Everybody except Sacramento had a winning record, and Sacramento was actually playing well a few weeks ago.
And I'll give you this. Four of those games without your best player. Four without your best player.
The four against the four best teams. Right? Against Phoenix and Golden
State. Right, because
they beat Sacramento,
right, with them.
So, absolutely, Rob. And you wrote a column about it on Deadspin, so I know you want to talk about the Nets and how good they look.
I just think they're scary good right now. When you think about it and look at the numbers, 14-1, leading after three, 6-1, Chris, against the elite teams. Only loss was a back-to-back against Philadelphia with no Kyrie and no KD. That's the game they lost against the elites. They have now won 8 straight games against the Western Conference. Chris, the numbers, the lead of my column, the numbers are stupid with two O's. That they're stupid numbers. Because you're right.
When you spelled it with two O's?
Yeah, I spelled it stupid.
So that makes it look like the numbers aren't the only thing that's stupid.
Is that what the editor said when I sent my column in? You know, like, dude, you say stupid. Do you know how to spell stupid?
Let me just to make sure that this is a part of what you're saying. You're writing. You did
but
this.
But you know
purpose.
What I was trying to get and you just said it. You cannot poo-poo a 5-0 West Coast trip without your best player. And even last night, you know, can we talk about the Clippers coming off a big win, Chris? Right? They beat Utah. Stopped their 9-game winning streak.
Not only that, they beat Utah, as you mentioned. They were healthy, right? They were whole. I know Paul George had to sit out the last couple minutes, you know, because of his minutes restriction, but they were whole. The Nets outplayed them the whole way.
Yep.
You can argue that the Clippers may have won had George been there, and that's fine. I don't even care if they had won. It was a bad call at the end of the game on Kawhi. That shouldn't have been a charge. So maybe the Clippers could have won. Even if they had won, I would have been no less impressed. The Nets outplayed them the entire game. And so it still would have been an impressive trip to me.
Beyond that,
they did win. They beat Utah. They were whole. And remember, Rob, the Nets had beaten them a couple of weeks ago.
Yep,
so you know Brooklyn. The Clippers wanted to get revenge.
They didn't want
to be swept. This could be the team. Maybe these two teams meet in the finals for all we know.
Could have been. The Clippers ought to have the second best record in the Western Conference behind Utah. They had coming off a win against Utah. That was their game, Chris. There could have been a statement there. Instead, the Nets made a real statement. And anybody, all the naysayers, Chris, here we go. Remember when the trade happened? Here's what people said. There's only one ball. They're going to be bickering because there's only one ball. Who's going to take the shot? This is not going to work. They got too many. Remember that? We heard that. Then, defense wins championships. You can't win unless you play some defense. That's how you win championships. I don't think anybody's saying that now, and I'm not saying that they can't get better. They've already, Chris, from dead last in defense, they're up to number 15, and it keeps getting better. They held the Lakers and LeBron James under 100 points. So the defense is getting better, and I think their record is 6-1 when all three of them have played together. So when they get those guys together, 5-2. When they get their stuff, their team together, and if they add a Drummond or a defender, Chris, another player, they'll be very difficult to beat, especially 4 out of 7.
Right. I'm with you. And here's the thing. I'm glad you actually brought up, you know, there were the two question marks before they got, you know, started playing games together early in the campaign was, can they play together offensively and can they defend? And I'm glad you brought it up because I want to bring this up. And this is why I was so adamant that it is a travesty that he's not starting in the All-Star game. Rob, and we both agree, and I think virtually everybody believes that Kevin Durant is the Nets' best player.
Yep.
But James Harden has been their MVP. And I think watching the games, I don't know how anybody could argue. Maybe you'll argue. I don't know how anybody could argue.
No, you
first
can't
of all,
argue
he's already played
Durant.
Only 13 fewer games. Durant's right. missed 13 games.
Durant's missed too many games to be able to say that he's the MVP of the team.
But and even Harden, when he's been out there, and I do think, look, Durant's the key. Like, I think Durant and Harden without Kyrie, Durant and Kyrie without Harden would have a great chance to win the championship. I'm not so sure, as good as they've looked on this West Coast trip, without Durant and with KD or with Kyrie and Harden, I think it'd still be a challenge for them to win it all. But here's why I say Harden's been the MVP. And I'm going to be honest, Rob. If he plays pretty much the whole second half of the season and he is playing like this and they, you know, let's say they run off a tremendous record, he's going to have a shot at the MVP award. I will not hold Houston against him. It was bad the way he left and
bad
all
luck.
That.
Right.
I will
bad
not
luck.
Hold it against him. And here's the deal. He leads the net. We know he's averaging 25 points a game. All right. He leads the Nets in rebounding, Rob. James Harden, 8.5 a game. He leads the Nets and the league in assists, 11.5 a game. He leads the Nets in PER. And beyond all that, he's shooting 50% from the floor, 41% from three. He's taken fewer than 16 shots a game to get his 25
Which
points.
People thought was not possible, Chris, from what he did in Houston, right?
Well, I knew it was possible, but I didn't think it was probable, I guess. Because if you watch him at Oklahoma City, when he came in the game off the bench and played with Westbrook and Durant, he was the playmaker. He was the point guard. And so you knew he had the skills, but it was just, man, has he gotten so used to, you know, taking 22,
no, that's what I mean, right.
Game.
Like
yeah.
He wouldn't be able to back off of that because of what – he became a star in Houston, right? Let's just be honest.
Yep. He became a superstar. All-time
he became
great.
A, right.
Yep.
And so it ain't that easy, but he wanted desperately to go to Brooklyn, and he's done everything, Chris. I don't even know how you could look at him – and think what a player he is. I mean,
he's
I think
phenomenal.
He's a better player now looking at this than when he was scoring all those points and just, you know what I mean?
Like he's getting to showcase his whole game.
Man,
I mean,
he can play.
So I'll give you that. I'll give you that. And here's the thing, Rob, and you mentioned the defense. If you watch them, and first let me give props to Kyrie and Harden because, you know, we know they're not all league defenders, but they are putting forth effort. They are getting down.
That's all you have to
dirty.
Do. That's right. What you need to do. You
Both
can't stop people.
Both of them spent time on Kawhi Leonard yesterday. Harden spent time on Serge Ibaka. I mean, just going at it. And what that's done, Rob, coupled with their selflessness, Harden playing point, taking fewer shots, Kyrie moving to the two, getting off the ball, giving up the ball, I think that set a tone for the others. Because now the others, Tyler Johnson, Jeff Green, Joe Harris, Bruce Brown, they
playing
know,
great.
Rob, all they have to do is cut, move to the basketball, stand, you know, spot up on the three-point line,
and
they're
going to
get the ball. Yes.
Yep.
They're getting their touches, and they're happy about it, and their stars are encouraging them to shoot. So what are they doing? Giving it their all on the defensive end. And like you said, that's part of it. Those dudes are hustling on the defensive end, and we're not saying they're an awesome defensive team.
No,
they're
no.
They're middle of the pack, but that's enough with the firepower.
And here's the other thing, too, is I think ultimately, Chris, when you look at the Nets, they're must-see TV right now. How don't you want to watch a Brooklyn Nets game? We talked about it before. For the first time ever, the Nets are beating the Knicks in New York on the TV rating.
They should be smashing the Knicks.
Right? How in the world could you not want to watch them play?
No. I'm sorry. You're right. If you're a fan of basketball, every game is must-see TV. And here's – I will throw this out. Obviously, we're throwing petunias and flowers and all types of stuff at them right now. I will say this, and as much as I like Kyrie and his game – You know, obviously, it's possible he gets an attitude, gets moody or whatever, but I'm not going to harp on that. But yesterday at the end of the game, he did go a bit rogue. He took two threes early in the shot clock that were just unnecessary that, you know, gave the Clippers a chance to win that game. So Kyrie can't get in that mode where he's got to be the one taking the shot at the end or anything like that. All of them got to stay the course. The open man shoots it. The hot man gets it, whatever you want to call it. But that's one red flag I'll throw out on an otherwise absolutely phenomenal West Coast trip. And the Nets are, Rob said it, the Nets are scary.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Any of you that are really active on social media and obviously sports fans, you probably saw what went down between Cam Newton and this kid who I think they said is a 15-year-old kid who was
at a camp
or a tournament, you know, that Cam had put together and, you know, 7-on-7 high school tournament, a bunch of, you know, high school
kids. Which is big time
in
football, right? The 7-on-7 stuff.
And there's a specific angle I want to go at this at from, Rob. But first, let's hear the exchange that went viral on social media between Cam and this kid.
You're a free agent.
Now, if you heard the end, I guess we can say that on the radio, Rob G, right? But the kid, because he was saying, you ass, like you ain't no good. That was, I mean, even more than the free agent stuff to me, that was what I found most offensive, that you sitting here calling this NFL MVP, you ass,
you ain't
no good.
You're calling a grown man, Chris. What?
Right, and I don't think he was calling him an ass, but I think he was saying it like, you know, you ain't no good. You suck. You know, I think. That's how I took it. But maybe, you know, maybe he was calling him that. Whatever.
You suck ASS? Is that what he's saying?
No, just that, you know, it's like a term for you ain't no good. You stink. You know.
Yes, on behalf of the younger generation,
yes, please,
calling somebody ass is slang for you being not good at something.
Right. So if you want to say somebody can't rap, you say you ass, you know, whatever.
Is that it?
But here's now the kid did apologize today. Rob G, if you can read maybe an excerpt from it, he put it on his social media and he apologized.
Well, he's getting killed all over the place.
Right.
And, you know,
and I'm sure the adults in his life put him up to it. But here's a little, Rob G, read a little bit of it.
Here's a portion of it. On his Twitter account, first and foremost, I want to express my deepest apologies to Cam Newton, my entire organization, and my coaches for my actions at the 7-on-7 tournament this past weekend. I did not intend for it to get as far as it did. First, I would like to start off by saying my parents never taught me to disrespect people. He had it backwards, but disrespect people. Right. As a football player, I let my competitive side get the best of me, and it was a huge miscommunication. It was in the midst of the moment, and I realize how a lot of you took it as disrespect. I never meant to humiliate and let anyone down. And he continues, well, that's the gist of it.
Let me just say this, Rob, and then you can go tell us what you think about it, because I want to set it up this way. Look, the kid's 15. I don't want it. This shouldn't be, you know, a death sentence for he can't be successful. Let's hold it against him. None of that. I did some stupid things at 15 and even a little later, actually, than that.
Come on, so, Chris. Admit it. Your freshman year in college before you became born again. All right. Let's just call it the way you see
actually,
it now.
Actually, I did a stupid thing my summer after my freshman year.
Okay.
I did some stupid things in high school. So
I'm just saying. All right.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying let's not – I don't want to condemn this kid. But here's the angle I want to approach it from, Rob. We were doing Undisputed this morning, and LeVar Arrington was on with us, and he coaches 70-on-70. We got TJ Houshmandzadeh on at the bottom of the hour – former Pro Bowl wide receiver who also coaches, you know, high school kids. And LeVar kind of took up for the kid. And he was like, hey, that's just how all these young kids are today. They come at me. They come at Hoosh. You know, we've been on 707s and they done talked down to us former NFL players. Like he was saying that's just how they are. And Cam was engaging the kid. And that's just how you have to do it today if you really want to at some point be able to get through to them. I disagree with a lot of what he was saying, but Rob, let's go whether you want to hit it from that angle or just the overall situation. What are your thoughts?
I disagree. That's the only way you could get at these kids. It's totally disrespectful, Chris. It's just did Cam put this together? Is this his 7-on-7 tournament or was he an invited guest?
It's his tournament, yes.
Dude.
He's going out of his way to help this kid, right?
You're going to the Cam Newton 7-on-7 tournament. Have some respect for that guy. That's not another guy from another team, Chris, you're going at.
Right.
This guy was an NFL MVP. He's played in the league. He's done a lot of things. Have some respect. That's why he brought up his whole idea about his parents didn't teach him to do that, Chris, because that's a reflection of your family. It
you
is.
You know what? Right? If my kids did something like that,
you would be outraged. You would be furious. Like, how in the world could you go out and do something like that to our family and our family name? And that kid, and I'm with you. He's 15. He'll live. People bump their heads all the time. You get back up. You understand what you did, and you live on. I don't want the kid to feel like, my God, nobody wants him to play football. He can't be on any team. You know, or something crazy like that.
Right.
No. But understand there is some respect that you have to have for your elders. And if that just was over the top for me. Joking around a little bit, Chris, a give and take, I got that. That's what that wasn't that. And it didn't feel right to me.
You're absolutely right. And that's what I think some people, and I think LeVar was looking at it this way. You know, it was they were joking. No.
Nah.
Because
nah.
I think when Cam, you know, Cam's walking by and the kid starts yelling, you a free agent, and Cam's like, I'm rich, and he walks toward the kid. I think he's thinking, you know, the kid's going to laugh, man. You know, I'm playing.
Right.
You know, like
kind of
like
lighten
up. And the kid keeps going at him. And I think when Cam was like, where's your dad? I think, and I'm just speculating, but I think Cam's thought process was, I'm not going to get into it with this little kid, but I'll get into it with your dad. You know, like, and I don't mean physically
fighting,
I mean, like, tell his dad, look, control your boy.
Right.
I'm out here for him. I'm trying to help him.
You're here at my tournament.
Yeah. Right. Like, and so I think that's what it was, but I'm with you on LeVar. Look, first of all, if he's saying this how the kids are. This was the only kid we saw doing this.
Nobody else did it, Chris. Right. Nobody
the
else.
The other kid seemed respectful. All right? And so that's number one. And number two, even if that is the case, let's say many of these kids are like that. That don't make it right. It ain't right. You have got to have respect. Rob, I never would have thought. Would you ever think about going at a professional athlete like that? Like, you on their level?
Never. I would have never been able to do that or speak out in a situation, even if I didn't like. Chris, I told you this story once before. Even people who I'm not fond of, I respect a certain degree of, you know, who they are and right. where they fit in, okay? So I don't have to like you to have respect for you. Right. And I'll never forget, I was at the World Series in the Yankees dugout before the game. And Rudy Giuliani starts to walk towards me, Chris. Not a Rudy Giuliani fan forever, for a
really?
Long time. Not recently, okay? Not recently. I'm not talking because
of
the Trump
stuff. Back. Right.
Right. I'm talking about way back. He starts walking towards me. There's nowhere to go. I'm right there. He's looking dead at me. He sticks his hand out like to shake my hand.
Right, right.
He's the mayor of New York. I'm not a fan. What do you think I did?
Shook his hand.
I shook his hand.
Right.
Do you understand
right.
what I'm saying?
Yep.
I could have tried to snub him or be like, dude, get away from me, or I can't stand you. I could have done any of that. There's a certain degree of respect that I think you owe people. That's just me.
Well, and here, you're absolutely right, and you handled that well. But also, you know what? You're a grown man, or you were a grown man
right.
at that
I was
time.
A grown man, right.
So
right.
Even that is different in that this is a teenager speaking to a grown man. You know, you darn near should be calling him Mr. Newton.
Exactly.
I mean,
you're
really.
Lucky.
And like, so I just did look, again, if this generation is really like that, and we're going to take calls on this. If you're in the generation, millennials,
we
young kids, whatever.
We would love to hear from you.
We want to
yes.
hear from you. If you coach them, whatever, we want to hear from you. But if this is how this generation is, it needs to change. It's not we got to go along with. This is not some innocuous thing of, you know, they just different. It's not them wearing their hair differently or, you know, having different style of dress or anything.
Yes.
This is respect. This is a moral issue. And Rob, I work with a lot of young kids too. And sometimes we as adults, we got to tell these kids what time it is. I was speaking to a bunch of young kids. It was a kids in a church basketball league. This was a few years ago. And there were several adults, myself and several grown men talking to these kids. It must have been 60 kids. And they play in the church league. And all black and a couple Hispanics. Okay. And some of the brothers who were speaking to them, some of the adults had played big time basketball, not in the NBA. But one guy played overseas.
College basketball, right.
Yeah, played against Patrick Ewing, played in the Big East, Big Boston College, all that. And another guy played overseas too. And these kids are all think they're going to the NBA. And the adults were like, they were sugarcoating it. They were like, you know, well, you know, just not telling them the truth. And they seen these kids play. And I got up, I said, look. I said, ain't none of y'all going to the NBA. None of you.
Right.
You're not good enough. This is a church league. You don't play at your high school. I said, this is the direct question. I said, have you seen Jim Boeheim in the stands at the church league games? Mike Krzyzewski, you see any of them at the games? You're not. I'm sorry. And one kid, well, why not? How could you say you're not good enough?
Right.
I see you play. All right. And you're not and there are some kids who have a reason to think that. Even if they're not all Americans, maybe they're all state, even if they're just all city, at least that's something. You're pretty good. There's a reason to believe you might get to the NBA. But we're not doing these kids any favors by just letting them get away with unrealistic dreams and, you know, not telling them how they're going to have to behave publicly to get ahead in a society. It ain't just this society. It's common courtesy and respect that all people need to have. And I just was like, the way I thought Cam handled it well. We could do without that maybe. But I think he's playing with the kid, you know?
No, he was initially, right?
Yeah.
I think he was initially. And I think, I do believe he did the right thing, Chris. You're a grown man. You're not going to get into it with a kid, a 15-year-old kid, about stuff that this kid, like he should just have a certain degree of respect for Cam Newton, whether you like him or not. But just there's a certain degree of respect.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'd rather have mayonnaise on my back.
From the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save a whole lot of something-something on your auto insurance. Sarah, please forget you heard that last little exchange.
I'm looking out my New York City window with the snow and the slush and cold weather.
Sarah,
let me tell you why
I said that, because I tweeted out today. It was 87 degrees in Los Angeles this afternoon, and I was like, it's so hot. Can somebody please pour barbecue sauce on my back? So that's where the whole thing came from. So I just want you to know.
Even that doesn't make sense.
I know.
But no, that coconut does. I feel like you make a tweet like that, use coconut oil.
Well, Sarah is the FS1 NBA analyst and one of the best NBA broadcasters out there for the YES Network. She's a Nets analyst. So, look, speaking of hot, Sarah, I mean, the Nets, awesome. And we got so much to get into, but Rob and I were just talking about the Nets, and we both agreed right now I think most everyone understands James or Kevin Durant's their best player.
Right.
But we feel like right now that James Harden is not only their MVP, but if he plays the rest of the season like this and they continue to win, I think he could get himself in the league MVP conversation. What are your thoughts on that?
Wow, that's a step I wasn't ready for. I do think that he has been tremendous. Given though the way that Embiid and LeBron and everyone's been playing, I still think there's a level to get to. But CB, you said he's been extraordinary, and just his control, his dominance of how the Nets offense is operating. He is just a savant with the basketball in his hands, how he's getting everyone involved. One of the biggest things we've seen is how everyone is understanding their roles, and I would credit a ton of that to just the orchestration that James Harden has had with the ball in his hands and how he's making decisions.
Sarah, let's just, you know, plenty of teams have won all their games on a road trip, but when you go 5-0 on the West Coast – against some pretty good teams. All of them were over 500, except for, Sacramento. Chris. And they had KD then. But the other four games against the better teams, they didn't have their best player. And for them to go 5-0 and have now won 8 straight games against Western Conference opponents, I mean, we can't poo-poo this. That's pretty big stuff, franchise kind of franchise-making news for the Nets.
Yeah, right. I mean, it was the best road trip in Nets franchise history, and I think it was just the variety of ways in which they won. To your point, against top level competition, and a lot of teams. You look at Phoenix that had been playing so well. Of course, the Clippers, the Lakers, and different players were missing at different points. But the fact of the matter is, Durant only played in one of those games. But it was interesting to watch, just not only offensively how they had been playing, but I think the big emphasis, how are they going to try and shore up and improve their defense? And that was the area that their connectivity, the communication, they're just playing harder, they're playing smarter. The big difference throughout the course of the last 5-6 games through this win streak is taking care of the basketball. And to me, that's what has alleviated so much pressure off of their defense. And when you break down the numbers, a lot of the opponent field goal percentages or things of that nature are fairly similar to even how they were earlier in the season or a few weeks ago. But they're not giving opponents 10, 15, 20 extra possessions, extra shots to deal with. And you could tell they're having fun. Winning is fun. So winning helps chemistry a whole lot, and they have a lot of it right now.
What type of adjustments, if any, do you foresee them having to make when Kevin Durant comes back?
Man, Susie, that's going to be interesting. And I mean, I think by nature, anytime you are reintegrating a player of his caliber or at any level, there's going to be some adjustments. But he is just so versatile and so easy to fit with anyone, and just how he plays, what he could do, the efficiency that he brings to the table. I think, too, for as much as you look at offensively, he's by far been the Nets' best defender this year. So the fact that they're doing some of things with him missing on that end of the floor says something. But I think, you know, it also comes back to just the shots and the usage. And I think between Harden, between Kyrie, and, you know, some of the other players, Joe Harris getting involved, of course, Jeff Green, what he's been able to do. But the type and the amount of shots. But right now, this group has been really unselfish, willing passers, high amount of assists because of the way that they're moving the basketball. So I certainly don't see there being issues with it, but I do think anytime you're reintegrating someone, it may take a second to catch that rhythm and fluidity.
How about Kyrie? I mean, we at one point people were saying he should retire, he doesn't want to play, and he's come back, right, apologized for all the stuff, paid his fine, whatever, and has just balled out since he's been back. And what is he like? And he's playing some of his best basketball.
Yeah, Rob, you know what? He seems happy. It's crazy. I think the last time I was talking to you guys, yep. I'm not sure if he...
Right. Chris,
I don't,
right, Chris, you had said you didn't think he was happy. Right, Chris said that.
Yeah.
It was actually right after his opening, you know, that press conference when he came back.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So before him, you know, taking his personal leave, he seems happy. He's enjoying himself. I think, you know, people understand him in the organization, his teammates. There's a good level of just mutual respect, I think, between him and his teammates, coaching staff. Everyone seems, and again, this goes back to, you know, talk to me in 2 weeks, and who knows if,
right.
if he hits some bumps or challenges. But at this point, he just seems to be purely having fun with the game and enjoying being out there. And you could see it. You could see it in the spirit of the way he plays. You even saw it when, you know, when he's on the bench, a couple of games that he had missed, and just the way in which he was so energized and vocal, and just the enthusiasm that came from him on the sidelines. I think there's a lot of accountability amongst all these guys, and they feel very free to be direct and honest in how they're speaking to one another without hurting any feelings. And I think that goes a long way just in the steps that they've taken. But man, he's been tremendous in his efficiency, and I know a lot was made of him coming out and saying, you know, that I told James he's the point guard,
right.
I'm the two guard.
Was
it's
Nash
like, oh, wow.
involved in that conversation?
Yeah, and it's like, I think, well, and just by the way James is playing, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, we kind of figure that, like, move you over in the starting lineup sheet. But I think that goes back to just the comfort in the roles and the comfort in what's expected out there, and knowing that he could just be him and he could go score, and he's been tremendous at that. And so I think for all of those reasons right now at this point, he seems like he's physically, mentally, emotionally, all those things that are so important and valuable for not only a player but a human, he seems to be in a really good place.
Sarah, for all, I mean, we're throwing all these flowers and praise on the Nets.
Yes.
I will say this. I thought yesterday at the end of the game, Kyrie went a little bit rogue. I thought he took a couple of bad threes that were early in the shot clock, both in the last minute, if I remember correctly. How much of – you talk about that, and is that a concern at any point? And do you agree with me that those were kind of bad shots that he took?
And I think that's James was, you know, I think that's going to go back to the give and take. And when you ask about reintegrating Kevin Durant, I think a lot of it, and there's no, I don't think it's an issue, a concern, a problem, but it is a factor of when you have, you know, three of the top 10 fourth quarter scorers, or, you know, they score in isolation, however you want to look at it, just the potency they bring to the table, just the continued feel of closing games. And we've seen them for the short amount of time and stretches that all three have actually been in games and been healthy and available together. There has been a good give and take, and it does not feel or seem in any capacity like egos are involved. And so that's the one positive thing. But I do think that's part of it, because I think you look at any one of those players and they probably believe that they, you know, which they have all been at that, they're throughout the course of their careers, the go-to guys at the end of games. So I think it's going to be a feel, the way the defense looks, matchups, personnel, the switches they're looking for, you know, all of those things. But to your point, to be like, I think some of the, and Kyrie was asked about it, that last shot that DeAndre Jordan actually cleaned things up and had that bucket.
That was a great play by Jordan Knight right there.
Yeah, and he's another one who seems revived and has done a really nice job just with his energy. So I think...
Has he been challenged? Because when they went small with the starting lineup, did you feel like that kind of challenged DeAndre, lit a fire under him, or what?
You know, I just think in general, I think some of that. I also just think everyone, there was a point, they had a really bad loss before they had the 6-game win streak. They had a really bad, embarrassing loss to Detroit.
Right.
And I think since that point, there was just a lot of looking in the mirror, individually, collectively. And since then, and I think DeAndre realizes how critical he is with their lack of depth in the front court and playing small so much. But when he's in there, and that was a circumstance with the Clippers, you know, Jeff Green gets hurt, he goes out, TLC, who would normally potentially be in there to close. I mean, the Nets would have been small. DeAndre Jordan would not have been in that game if not for a handful of the injuries that occurred. But I think he, you know, realizes that how much he is needed and the effort required. And he's been really good. You know, you appreciate seeing what he's been able to do, especially the last few weeks, considering some of those moments and how he looked at the start of the year.
All right, that's Sarah Kustok, FS1 NBA analyst,
so much,
and the Nets analyst for Yes Network. Great stuff. We appreciate the
knowledge.
You guys
are the best. Soak up the sun for me.
You know it.